I don't know how I survived an entire week without Carrie, but here I am for week two without Carrie. So we're going to have to try to soldier on in our best efforts. Who knows what kind of craziness could happen? Welcome to the Backpack Show. I am your dauntless host, Chris Brogan. Everybody say hello if you're here for the first time. This is like Fight Club. If you don't say hi, I don't know that you're here. Special shout out to Winnie the Pooh. Making sure everyone knows that we've got an incredible show today. I have Valentina Escobar Gonzalez. I forgot her M. M. Valentina Escobar Gonzalez, who's going to tell me all about her social media business that she launched way back in 2012 and somehow still has alive and flourishing. And then Power Up for Profits, Kathleen Gage is here. We're going to talk about plant-based things. We are probably going to get lectured to in the most loving of ways on why we need to adopt a vegan lifestyle. I love Kathleen. She has energy for days on this sort of thing. Even though West Coast wake up, Eric Tung is here to say hi. Leslie's here. Coach Woodard is here. Chloe made it under the wire. Ola Elizabeth down in Austin. And Paul, hello to yourself, Paul. We have such a show today. Stick around. Like I said, we've got crazy shenanigans today. Two women-run businesses that are going to teach us everything we need to know about our lives. Life, living, love. Well, some of those things.
Hi, everyone. Tim Kitzer from NBA Jam and NFL Blitz. Welcoming you to The Backpack Show. Your hosts, Chris Brogan, Kerry Gorgone, Boom Shakalaka.
Backpack Show.
Well, that doesn't sound naughty at all, Eric, but Carrie's away for another entire week because she's doing some stuff. She's got some family matters to attend, so it's just me, buddy. Sorry. Hi, Jane. Good to see you. Always happy to have you here. And Senior Collins. I'm going to do just a little bit of my ads now so I don't have to wreck them later. But again, we're going to talk to Valentina Gonzalez first. We're going to talk to Kathleen Gage second. So we've got women-owned business stuff to talk about. We've got plant-based lifestyles, how to actually, you know, talk up businesses that need that kind of help. We have a lot more. So how do you make a show like this? StreamYard. Super easy. If some of you are here because you've seen StreamYard ads all over the place, always good to see my brand new not fans. Seabrogan.me/StreamYard. You can make your own show. You just have to go find your own experts. That's what the difference is. If you're an author and you want to get a book site thrown together really fast, pub-site.com, done by the experts at FSB Associates, over 25 years in the business. Top name people have their websites on PubSite. Tom Clancy, Robin Cook, all kinds of shenanigans are there. Pub-site.com, free for 14 days, $20 a month thereafter. They'll make you the site for you if you are too lazy or not skilled at all, which maybe you're not, for only $499 United States dollars. If you want a site like mine, you can just go to cbrogan.me/online and you can get a .online domain. Use the code Chris, all caps, 99 cents. I did them all. I did all the ads, people of Earth. And look at that. My mother, Diane Brogan, is here. Her husband, Stephen Brogan, my biological father, also joins. Hello. I'm going to grab Valentina. We're going to get right into this business. Young lady, hello, and hey. How are you?
Good and you. Made it on. Super excited to be here with you today.
Now, last time I saw you, you were making recipes. You were in the kitchen making heart-shaped things and everything. It was like all kinds of love. Nothing but good.
Yeah.
All kinds of things. So, but we're going to talk about your business today, Valentina.
Awesome. So I can't wait to tell you. Yeah.
Well, first off, you started in 2012. So you were, you know, the craze starts hitting, let's say, between 2006, 2009-ish or something like that. 2012, the first wave has come and gone. And people have said, I'm not so sure about this social media business thing. I don't think it's going to last. And you said, I've got you.
Yeah. And that's the funny thing is I moved, and anyone that has moved recently and started something from scratch, I think you deserve a cookie today because it's not easy. So I moved from Florida. My husband got a job here in Northeast Tennessee. I was finishing up my MBA. And I said to myself, okay, I need a network. I need to meet people. So I did a Twitter search, an advanced Twitter search, and I found all these women. And I realized there wasn't someone that had my skill set or my expertise in this area. And they said the same thing like you. What is social media? Why do I need to be on it? Why is it so important? And all these questions that you just mentioned. And it was very scary. And it takes a lot of guts to start a business from scratch, especially with something that no one understands. So, yeah.
So when you say I do a social media business, there's a lot of us who use social media. We all tweet our faces off or whatever. What's the difference? What are you doing? And like, give me an example of one of your clients.
So, for example, one thing that I do is the branding. When we talk about our social media, we want to be concise. We want to project an image. We want to, you know, specifically really cater to that audience. I think it's all about the personas and the people you cater to. And the thing is, a lot of people do social media on a personal basis, but they don't know how to do the back end stuff, the business side of things, the insights, the analytics to understand their audiences. We are so blessed that we can understand and cater to our specific niche. They say the riches are in the niches.
So Who's an example business of yours? Who's somebody that you go out there and grab up as a client?
So all my clients are confidential, but I can tell you, I can be more specific and you know, when it comes to that, if you want me to answer that question.
Oh, so is this like I have to try to guess and name the tune and you'll tell me in so many bars or something?
Well, let me tell you this. So before COVID, I was doing a lot of workshops. I was doing at least one workshop in person. And the thing is, when you go there, you talk about Instagram, you talk about the benefits of a specific social media platform based on the specific audience that you're catering to. And I would have people come up to me at the end of the class and be like, Valentina, I have a question about this. I have a question about that. And it takes a lot of knowledge to be able to come up with a quick answer off the bat. When sure. It comes to those sort of things, yeah.
So are the companies that you work with, seeing as you're not giving any up, are they huge? Are we talking like Microsoft comes to you? Are we talking about solo people who need you to act as their persona? Are you talking about, you know, plumbing companies? Like, what's the type of business that someone...
It's all, most of them are small business owners, and okay. A big handful of them are female business owners. And these might be people that are working for themselves or have a small team. So Okay. Essentially my expertise is helping with the small local business owners, small business owners.
Okay. Now, are you helping them with selling, with communications? Like what's part of the process that they're going through to be with you?
So basically I go and meet with them. I look at all their social media. We come up with a strategy. We look at the insights. We talk about the personas and we cater content based on what they have to offer. It just depends if they're a product or service-based industry.
Okay. But even if they're either of those.
I love seeing the comments there. You guys are so amazing. I love it.
So if they are... Okay, so I sell a potato chips. I'm a small potato chip vendor. I have three different types of potato chips. They're delicious.
They have to be delicious because you made them.
There you go. Are you going to teach me how to sell my potato chips through social? Are you going to teach me how to... Someone says, I found a dog in my potato chips. That's not good. Now what?
Okay, I don't do PR. I don't do PR. That's...
Okay. So you do.
So basically I help you sell it. I help you get up to speed with social media as well.
So no, just in general. Okay. Got it.
So Chris, there's a lot of people that are not like you. There's people that don't understand, like they can just sign into their Facebook and that's it. They don't understand that there's a strategy, a process. You have to understand audiences, the back end buttons, always like technical things, specifically the technical side, they don't understand those things, Chris.
So you're walking them through keyboard level stuff, like here's how to set up your accounts, here's how to touch the buttons, here's how to share these things in these various places, that kind of thing.
Yeah, like we get really super technical.
So here's a question. What recommendations do you have for companies who are on social but don't yet have a lot of content?
So I would have a brainstorming session and say, okay, what is it that you want to be known for? I love something that Mark Schaefer always mentions is only I. What is it that you do that separates you from everyone else? Because that's going to help you understand what your story is, what the content is, understanding the audiences that you cater to as well. And that's why I love using social media, because you can understand that with the analytics and see that through the tools. So it's so important to have that brainstorming session and understand who they cater to, and then be authentic to yourself. If you do not want to be taking selfies, taking videos, then you have to understand that that's not who you want to be. We can't force our clients to do those sort of things. We can just nudge them a little bit.
Sure. So I want to hear a lot about networking. I want to hear about what you did to go from Miami to Tennessee and just launch it up again. How did you get to the places you got to, and how did you find yourself in the circles that you ended up in?
It's having a desire to really make a difference. So when I moved here from Florida to Tennessee, within a year of moving here, I was nominated for the 40 under 40. How did I do that? I had a desire to volunteer. When I was finishing up my MBA, I was like, I can't wait to work in a soup kitchen and cook a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and help people in need. Then I realized when I moved here, I attended a Chamber of Commerce breakfast. I met with the executive director of the food bank, and I started volunteering in the marketing committee. I started volunteering in the United Way. I didn't understand what the United Way was until I was part of the allocations review committee. So we understood what the budget is and which agencies we're going to cater to. And you discover there's a huge need in this area for people that don't know how to read, for single moms, people that were incarcerated that are now restarting their new lives doing something else, for the Dinosaur Museum. There's so many, and hunger. One in four children here in Northeast Tennessee are food insecure. So I was like, I am a 2 on the Enneagram. So I was like, I have this heart. I want to help these people. So what could I do? I'm going to volunteer my time in the marketing committees to bring awareness about these causes that are in this area. So that helped me. And being tenacious. It's super scary, Chris, for some people. I think you don't have this problem. You look like you're very out there. But it's super scary to go to a Chamber of Commerce breakfast or go to a networking event and not know anyone.
So what did you do before that networking event to make yourself not feel that? By the way, I'm an insane introvert. I am absolutely, I never go to those events because it's not going to work for me.
I feel
so
like
what did you do?
So I'm an ambivert. So I can be very introverted, but if it's a girl's night out, I'm terrified of women and being in those little situations. I'd rather be in a business situation and turn on the switch and say, okay, this is who I am. This is what I sell. This is what I can help you with. But when it comes, so with these networking situations, I do the cutty thing where you do the superwoman pose. You extend your arms up like this, and it releases all this like endorphins or oxytocin. And whenever I get like that, people think I'm very social and out there, but I get scared going to these networking events. And I just take a deep breath and I think about the fact, if I don't do this, I don't get clients. If I don't get clients, I can't pay for my kids' gymnastics lessons, their swim lessons, right, their jiu-jitsu lessons. So I have to put myself out there because it's how I know I'm going to grow my business.
Cool. So did you do any kind of research or anything like that ahead of going to the thing, or you just walked in the room and figured you'd...
Oh, no, definitely. Definitely. I try to understand what type of businesses go to it, what type of people are catered to. So there's the Chamber of Commerce breakfasts. There's these little small networking businesses, lunches, breakfasts. It's two different types of audiences. So understanding who is going to be there is so important in doing your research.
And in what ways do you do the research? What method do you do? Because you say that, and I don't know. What would I do? Just go and look at some people's faces and say, that seems like a nice enough person. How do you?
So I do, I go on their website. I try to find out more about them. And then there's situations where it's just spontaneous, where you just go up to someone and you take your chances. So for example, when I go to the Chamber of Commerce breakfasts before COVID, I'm a foodie, so I'm going to go for the Danish. I'm going to go for the omelet. What happens when you do those huge lines and then you're in this line and you're not going to be on your phone because you're paying to be a member of this event? So you talk to the person in front of you. You talk to the person behind you, and then you just spark a conversation. And I think it's being vulnerable, being authentic, telling your story and understanding how I can help you.
Cool. Are there any kind of openers that you use for your conversation starting? Any like tried and true?
Yeah. So I would say, what business are you in? What brought you here? What is your favorite restaurant? I always say that because I can judge someone based on their favorite restaurant in the area.
Yeah. Well, I was noticing Elizabeth said that she goes on Twitter to find where the free food events are during South by Southwest. So I think she's
Elizabeth
there in heart.
Deserves a cookie because that's super brilliant. That's where it is. With food, it can't be controversial, and you can only... you can always say, okay, I don't believe in adding onions to the Cuban sandwiches. So, you could always mention something silly like that, but I think it does break the ice when you talk about food.
So Chloe has a question. Do you manage accounts, or is it more just about educating? Are you doing more education work?
Chloe, that's a great question. As of the beginning of March, so for 9 years almost, I was doing the social media for my clients, and I changed. I said, I find more happiness instructing, doing these webinars, doing consultations than managing the social media. I couldn't go on vacation to managing the social media for my clients. So it's been very freeing this whole month, pivoting my business and changing things up.
So I have a question. I have been told, it's a rumor, so you have to clarify this, yeah, that you are remarkable at giving gifts.
Yes, I am. I pride myself in going and getting little handwritten notes. I love doing that.
So and handwritten notes, we know how to do. How do you find what's the right kind of gift for someone?
You find if you're connected to the person. That's why I love Twitter, because I can just go through your Twitter account and see what you're interested in and see what you've posted in the past, researching and, you know, basically asking too. One thing that I did, I read this Forbes article. It basically gave me an anxiety attack. Let me just paraphrase. I think it said 50 to 60% of the business that you get is from your current customers, while 5 to 12% is from new customers. So here we are trying to get these new customers, mm-hmm, when we just need to cultivate the ones we have. So what I do is I have a local chocolate maker. She makes truffles. So I have my logo on the truffles, specifically the moonshine truffles, Chris. And I put my truffles with my logo and I send it to people. So that's a fuzzy thing. Most people like chocolate. But another thing that I do is if they're on Instagram, I turn on the alerts and the notifications. So whenever they post on Instagram, I get notified on my home screen. And then I make sure I don't miss it. So I like it. I engage with it. So that's why I'm top of mind. So I love doing that. Or turning on notifications on any social media platform is going to be really good, so you can be top of mind for your clients. So if they ever have a need or they have someone that's asking them about social media, you can say, there's this Valentina girl that can possibly help you.
Very fun. Debbie was asking what your Twitter account is. So see, someone still uses Twitter. It's Equine. It's Equine Valentina. So Debbie, also a horse person, like our other guest, Kathleen, and yourself, pre-kids, liked horses. So what kind of horses? Talk to us a little bit about your love for horses.
So I'm from Miami. So you'd be surprised. There are horse areas in Miami, Florida. So I used to ride Pasofinos, which are gated horses. So you ride them and you can have a glass of wine or hold your cup and it wouldn't spill. You don't have to do any posting. So they walk on a little gate like that.
Gated, like as in their gate, their walk. Because I'm thinking gated, like they're only inside of gates. Like I was thinking, aren't most horses inside of gates unless they're out towards Kathleen's Way or something? Like I thought that's like the natural status of horses.
An equivalent would be Tennessee Walkers. But I went to the University of Florida and I wanted to be a veterinarian. So long story short, I switched to the business side of animal sciences. And then the rest is history. But I used to ride, I was in the equestrian team. So I was on the Western equestrian team.
Yeah, we might say. All right. So Martin says, do you happen to drink tea?
I do. I love tea. If I had to choose between coffee and tea, I would definitely pick tea. Mm-hmm.
So that's good to know, I guess. And he also was very pleased by your chocolates thing. So Eric's gift tip is to collect the little things that people complain about and get them something that fixes that for them.
That's so genius. Oh my God, Eric, you're super smart. That's a good idea.
Super, super good idea. All right. Valentina, I'm going to put you backstage, but don't go away if you can. We have a little panel at the end. Thank you so much for being part of this with me.
Oh, thank you, Chris.
Boop. All right, everybody, don't go anywhere because I read all my ads. I can ring right in so I can grab Kathleen. So we're going to talk to her about her business. It's back-to-back women business owners on the Backpack Show today. Kathleen Gage, thanks for joining. How the heck are you?
Hey, I'm great, Chris. How are you?
Top shelf. Best
top
I could be.
Top shelf, top shelf. I got to tell you, I was loving listening to Valentina. She had some great ideas. And, you know, I do disagree with one thing, though. Food can be controversial, and we'll probably talk about that.
Mm-hmm. I think we have a lot to say about that, because that's really where you've been focusing your time and your energy. You've with Power Up for Profits, you've been helping companies that are in the plant-based or vegan space get their message out, get their word out there. Talk a little bit about that. Like, were you doing other just kind of generic kind of marketing and business before and you switched to this?
I was. I actually started my business in 1994. So I've been around for a little while. And nice. I started as a corporate trainer because I left a corporate job. And that evolved into working with federal agencies, municipalities, state agencies. That evolved into small businesses, then solopreneurs. And it always led into marketing. I went plant-based 2.5 years ago, almost 3 years ago, and that evolved into being a vegan. At first, I didn't want to be considered a crazy vegan, and now I'm a crazy vegan because the more I learn about it, the more I realize it's not just about the health, it's about the animals too. So what I've been doing since the pandemic, because I'm a keynote speaker, and actually when the pandemic hit, I didn't want to tell anybody this, but a big, big part of my business dropped off the face of the earth because of the pandemic, right, being a keynoter. And it gave me time to, one, cry. I didn't, yes, want to get out of bed. I wanted to cry a lot. And finally, I said, you know, get over it and figure this thing out. And what I realized was there's a real need within the vegan and plant-based industry for good marketers. And so I've been transitioning into that.
You, there's so much to talk about in this one. Hey, Naz is here from Milan. There's so much to talk about with regards to this, Kathleen. One of the things that I was thinking about as I heard your story, well, so one, as also a keynote speaker, I was in the same boat. I lost 90%+ of my revenue all in one shot.
Isn't it crazy? I mean, and you're going, what did I do wrong? And I actually blamed myself. And it was like, wait a minute. It's not just me. It's happening to big name people like Chris Brogan. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, I've been a fan of yours for years. And to hear somebody like yourself go through that, it's like, okay, it's not just me.
Might not be me, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I've also run events. So on the other side of it, you know, as an event planner and as a, yep, person who's run conferences, is my biggest weren't that big. They were like 500 or 600 people. I reached out to all my friends who had events in the water in like February and March and said, is there anything I could do to be helpful to you? And I mean pro bono. I just mean like, I know everything just broke. And right before the whole world locked down, I had an opportunity to go speak because somebody from Google had canceled on this guy. And I said, I'll fill it in. Just airplane. Just pay me the airplane. That's all we, yep, got to do. And then the world closed down. So I'm with you on that. So you said, you know, you did what everybody did. You cried. Yeah. You laid in bed. You looked at your belly button a lot. And then you went, okay, fine. I got to do something. And you figured it out. You said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to help plant-based companies, vegan-based companies,
right,
up their business. What was like the outreach for that? Like, how did you go and find, like, I don't know, a mushroom company and say, I'm ready to work with you now?
Well, it's actually pretty easy. You know, Google is our favorite friend, and as is Apple Podcasts, and just doing research and, mm-hmm, finding companies that, there's a lot of startup companies that are getting equity funding and angel funding that are in the plant-based vegan space. And we're talking to the tune of $10, $20, $30 million. Mm-hmm. A lot of the people that are starting these companies, they've got the tech savvy and they've got the entrepreneurial spirit, but they may not have the marketing background or the visibility. And my big focus right now is working with experts who want to get on podcast shows. So it's really niching down, and it's beyond just a niche. It's going a micro niche and really drilling down into an area where I have a lot of experience. And so why not take that experience and benefit other people who are aligned with what I see as my mission in life? Now, as far as like the whole offering pro bono, I think that's still a really good idea. I just had a conversation with a huge, huge cruise company, and they want people to speak to their directors and managers. And so we had a conversation, and I said, well, what's your budget? And the woman kind of giggled, and she goes, well, we don't really have a budget. And I said, okay, here's what I need in return. I will do this pro bono, and what I would like in return is X, Y, and Z.
Right. Right. Ask access to the list, or, you know, I want you to send this message to your list for me.
Absolutely. And both, yeah, absolutely. Sure. And the nice thing is when the cruise industry opens back up, they're going to need speakers, and there's often plant-based cruises. I mean, you know, wow, you can think of any niche that somebody goes into, and there's a market for it. You just have to do your homework.
For sure. I remember researching it, and, you know, the same things, the same myths have been out there since forever. You know, you'll never get enough protein, which is one of the silliest ones I found out. Like, you, you know, unless you eat really weird, like it's so hard not to get protein from plants.
Absolutely.
So it's funny because plant sources are now getting recommended a lot more. But I want to talk about this for a second. I'm curious to know your take. I have friends in this industry, for instance, Seth Goldman, who runs Beyond Meat. He also has Eat the Change, which is he makes mushroom jerky, which is a pretty straightforward product. It's mushroom with some spices on it. You dry it out, it looks like jerky. You call it a day.
Right, right.
But Beyond Meat and why can't I not think of their
Impossible
name?
Impossible Burgers.
Impossible. Thank you. Yeah. All those ones that try their hardest to emulate fast food, they serve a purpose because what they're trying to do is kind of be a nice bridge product. But then there's people arguing, well, that's sort of Frankenfood in another whole way. So I want to know your take on that.
I say yes and yes. Okay. In a sense, it is Frankenfood, and it also is a bridge into a better way of life. And you have to look at why people are deciding to go plant-based. If it's for the animals, the health issue doesn't even come up. So it's really about looking at where people are at and meeting them where they're at. And meat, M-E-E-T, not M-E-A-T. And, you know, so I think that we can be really quick to judge people on their decisions, but it's looking at the big picture in the 30,000 foot view that there are different reasons why people choose to go plant-based, but there's a difference between being vegan and being plant-based. You can be vegan and eat crap food. I mean, you can eat Oreo cookies all day long. Yeah, and you're a vegan. Now, for me, I like to call myself a plant-based vegan so that it's like, okay, I eat 100% whole food plant-based and I eliminate all animal and dairy products. And it really is for the animals. And it's so interesting because I was about 6 months into this whole thing when it really hit me how out of alignment I was pre-plant-based because I do animal rescue. My wife, we've been together 31 years and she's very into horse rescue. And so I'm in the grocery store walking by the butcher area and I'm thinking, wow, all that time I was so out of alignment. Here I was rescuing animals and I was eating animals.
Right. Rescuing horses, eating cows.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, there's a comedian out there that talks about the fact that we just align based on which animals are ugly. You know, we won't eat a dolphin because they're good looking, but those tuna are ugly. I lost your audio all of a sudden, and I don't know if it's just me.
Now
we're back.
Okay.
It was my fault last time, so I thought, oh, here it is me again. And so you might have to repeat everything you said after ugly animals.
Well, I think it was the guy who was on America's Got Talent that shared that story. And he goes, if that was true, I'd be eating a lot of you right now.
That's a very good follow-up line. So one of the challenges with talking to a vegan is that they can be a bit, you know, religious about it, Kathleen. And it's tricky because we want to, like you said, meet people where they are. And I know in every other element of your life, that's kind of how you do. How do you guide people gently to that church so that they understand that maybe there's not everyone's going to land on vegan?
You know, that is such a great question, Chris. And I think one is to live by example and also to do what you can to raise awareness. Like I have a podcast show called Plant-Based Eating for Health. I have a blog called Plant-Based Eating for Health. I have a Facebook group. Guess what it's called? Plant-Based Eating for Health. And so what I do is I educate people and I post things like recently Krispy Kremes. They offered a donut a day for anybody who gets the vaccine. Yes. And this is not about vaccines. This is about Krispy Kreme doing something to encourage people to get the vaccine, but something that is so unhealthy because one expert said, if people ate one extra donut a day without changing anything else in their diet, by the end of the year, they're going to gain 15 pounds. Well, that 15 pounds is going to cause heart problems, high blood pressure, strokes, you know, a whole number of things. And so I really would encourage people to just look at what your motivation is and what you can do to educate people, because it really does turn people off when you start jamming things down their throat. I've been sober for 37 years. And when I first got sober, I thought everybody should get sober. And so I was on, you know, my soapbox. Well, the reality is not everybody needs to get sober. I mean, not everybody had a problem like I did. And so we have to look at what motivates people and awareness goes a lot further than jamming it down their throat.
You're totally right about that. They always say the only thing worse than a non-smoker is an ex-smoker.
Yeah. Well, I'm that too. So yeah.
You did it all.
You've give me every behavior. Oh yeah, I did it. I did it.
Wait a minute. So I have the obvious question. So what's your vice now?
My vice now, actually running is my vice. I love running. And what I have done is I've been in some marathons, and my first was at the age of 60, and I hold the distinction of being the last person in of every marathon I've ever run. So that's my distinction, my claim to fame. I'm not a fast runner, but I'm consistent, and it's something I really enjoy doing.
I did one whole marathon. I did a trail marathon back in 2004. And it was a half distance of a super ultra marathon. So I did 26.2. Everybody else was up there to run 50.
And that's all crazy. I thought
was, if they waited for me to finish 50 miles, it'd be the next day. They'd have to bring tents.
Oh, for sure. Well, I literally on the first one, I crawled over the finish line. I was just in so much because I didn't prepare, you know, and it's so interesting because there's something to be said for preparation and laying the foundation before you do something extreme like a marathon.
Right. Carl says finishing last is still finishing. And
absolutely. I'll take it. I'll take it for sure.
Catch you later, Elizabeth. Elizabeth also said, had to give up bacon, but feel better by eliminating
You know, I'd like to address that. I'd like to address that because a lot of people say I can't give up cheese. I can't give up bacon. I can't give up whatever. And it's not a can't. It's like, I don't want to at this point in time. And when you look at how bacon is processed and what happens to the pigs, a lot of times that's all it takes, you know, because it's really looking at the way animals are treated in factory farms. And some people say, well, I look at how my food is sourced and I only do humanely raised animals. Well, death is death. I mean, you know, so that's where I can get on my soapbox because it's like I invite people to do your research and then say, I can't give it up.
I feel so on that very particular point, and it's absolutely just an emotion. It has nothing to do with science or anything like that. Death is definitely death. When I watch factory farming, it's really easy for me to choose not to eat meat. When I watch someone who's done everything in their power to give them everything up to the death a good time, I almost always think, I'd have an easier time eating that. And again, I get what I'm saying. And
I hear what you're saying.
I know your argument back. But
I don't agree with it, but I hear it.
I understand. I've watched the video of the factory farming though, and that's how I help myself. I inoculate a little bit by watching that, and I go, ooh. You know what? My bok choy did none of that today. It just got cut out.
Well, you know, Chris, what's interesting too about factory farming is if it was eliminated, much of the problem with viruses and pandemics would be eliminated.
Utterly.
I mean, you know, it's like, and that's what's frustrating about all the information that's put out about the pandemic is they eliminate that one key piece.
Carl was out there rolling his own sausage for a while because he says, you know, a lot of the things you like are basically seasoning and those sort of flavors.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So,
Naz is pointing out that Morrissey has the thing about meat is murder. I just found out this whole racist side to Morrissey. So I'd find a new vegan guy to like. So Leslie says, I feel that there's a huge misconception by people who think a vegan diet is restrictive and lacking in taste because her daughter eats and cooks lots of delicious foods and it's filling and we don't feel like we're missing anything.
Absolutely. Well, recently we had some family visiting and I did all the cooking and all the meals were plant-based. Everyone was surprised. They were like, my gosh, there's no meat in here. This is plant-based. You know, you can use tofu. There's so many choices out there.
And sometimes this is what I've come to learn. Sometimes don't even put in the fake meat. Just call it a day and just eat the vegetables.
Absolutely. You might actually feel full.
I wanted to read something I found on your site that I really loved. And I like that it contrasts with your business and sort of where you went right after the, what went on with the pandemic and us all having to kind of figure ourselves out. You said it's time to shout from the rooftops. Don't stay quiet. You know, I will no longer stay quiet. I will not grow my business. And not grow my business. I learned how to read just today, Kathleen. So
you're doing great. You're doing great.
I'm here. What's really happening is my camera is dead center of that sentence. I am here for a reason. I'm here to make a difference. I'm here to raise awareness. And I'm here to make a whole lot of money while doing it. I love this mantra. This mantra is you should screenshot this. You should print it. Go to powerupforprofits.com. It's right on the front page. You can't not find it. I love that. I want to know when you came to that and what you do with that in the other parts of the business that you do.
You know, it's been an evolution because, you know, the whole thing of having a wife for years, I wouldn't talk about that. I came out in the 70s and it was right around that time that they quit calling it a mental illness. It actually was a certified mental illness until 1972. Now, some of us are mentally ill, but that's a whole different story. But the fact is that there was a lot of shame and guilt attached to it. So that was a whole evolution and continues to be in my life. And I actually had a consultant that I hired, a very high-end consultant, about 10 years ago, that her recommendation to me was to send a message out to my list and say, I'm coming out. And then when people opened up the message, say, oh no, I did that years ago. What I'm coming out with is a new consulting package. And I remember, it was so interesting because I remember the day that I sent it out. My finger literally was going back and forth on the, do I send it? Do I not? Do I send it? And I thought, you know, what do I have to lose? And I sent it out, immediately had a bunch of unsubscribes. There were people that were just, you know, like, how could you do this? And yet there were other people who wrote me and said, thank you so much. My son is gay. My sister is gay. My, you know, whatever. My ex-husband is gay, whatever it may be. Sure. And what I found is by being who we are and not being ashamed of it, we tend to attract the market that we are meant to work with. And I think a lot of people have this fear that if they niche down too much or they reveal too much about who they are, that they're going to lose a lot of people. Yes, you will. That's just a fact of life. However, you will attract those people who are you are meant to work with. And especially when you have something that could change people's lives and save people's lives and really turn, like with Valentina doing the social media, teaching people how to do it, that can save their business and they have more control. And so we owe it to our market to put our message out there in the biggest way possible.
I love it. Speaking of Valentina, I'm going to drag her back out. I'll have a little panel.
Please do. I enjoy her.
Welcome
back, Valentina. Great to see you.
Kathleen, I was doing my research on you, and like I said, I was so inspired by that story that I see. You decided to do a full marathon, and then you even say that you had the distinction of being the last one, that you said that you shared that, because I think it's a big accomplishment, and I think you deserve credit for that.
Thank you. Well, I have to tell you, and I appreciate that. When I was starting with 5Ks, I remember running this 5K. And at that point, I was really, really slow. And there was this woman that was going neck and neck with me. And honest to goodness, I noticed she had a prosthesis. She had a one leg that was a prosthesis. And I thought, darn it, I am not going to let her win. And I literally at the last second, I just shot out and I thought I won. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's your claim to fame. Well, it's funny because I ran into her at a coffee shop a few weeks later and I said, I remember you. And I mean, just a great gal, but that was my claim to fame.
Oh, now you make me have to confess a similar story. So I'm not a runner body. You could tell by the two runners worth of body in the same costume. When the first time I decided to lose some weight and go do some running, I was out there all the time and I was doing all my mileage to get up. I was using the Penguin, John, what's his face? I was using his Get to a Marathon program. And so I did a 5-mile race on a beach, Massachusetts, right by the ocean. And I'm running and I see a little old lady. And I'm behind her some distance, but I'm like, I am going to wreck this little old lady. So I start like, that's my thing. So I'm running and I'm starting to wheeze because now I'm running just a little past my pace, which is not on the plan. The plan says run your pace. I'm going to beat this woman, just like your prosthetic woman. And I'm like, get up and I get right up beside her. And she is a little old lady. She is older. Now she's probably 3 years older, but she, to my head, she could be 190. So she looks over at me and she goes, good for you. And then whoosh, she ran like she had been skipping.
I love it.
She ran like her toes were tied together the whole earlier race. She killed me and out went all my energy. And I barely made it across the 5 miles.
I love it. I love it.
So I felt you when you said that. So Valentina, you mentioned before we hit record that you are also doing a little bit of plant adding to your life in general, eating a little bit more plants. Any questions for the expert?
Yeah, I did it for health reasons. I know I was keeping you in suspense. I'm a big I was part of the Alzheimer's Association walk committee, so that's another thing I did. And I really want to eliminate or see that end in my lifetime, Alzheimer's. So I know that a plant-based diet, or at least what I saw in this report on the Today Show, was that it's good for mental. The vegetarian diet. So beginning maybe 3 weeks ago, I started going vegetarian. Vegan's hard for me because I love my dairy, but and so that's what I've been doing. So any encouragement, any tips that you can do whenever you feel I keep eating the same things over and over. What do you do, or who do you follow to spice things up to get more?
What a great question. And actually, one of the people I recommend you get his book is Dr. Joel Fuhrman, Eat to Live. Okay. He's got some great advice in there. And I also recommend you watch the short, it's a 5-minute little video called Dairy is Scary. You will never, ever want to consume dairy after that, because that dairy actually, that deals with how the dairy is processed, but dairy actually causes inflammation, and inflammation causes arthritis, it causes brain fog, it causes strokes, so many things that you want to eliminate on health levels. If you get rid of dairy, you will eliminate those things. And so I also go to plant-based eating for health, because I have recommendations on books. I've got experts that I've interviewed. Anybody who's on my podcast show has to be 100% animal and dairy free. I won't let anybody on who's not. And I've had people get upset, say, well, I'm 95%. It's like, great. When you're 100% for a period of time, then we'll talk. But I've had Dr. T. Colin Campbell, who wrote The China Study. That's a fascinating book. But all of the people that you see here, they're 100% dairy and animal free, and fascinating people from every walk of life. Monk Coleman, right?
Monk
there.
Monk Coleman, yeah.
Oh my God, the guy is a rock star. He actually was involved in gangs. He went to prison. He was involved in drugs and alcohol. He now is clean and sober. He's a bodybuilder. He did a program called Heal the Hood, where he went into the projects area, and he taught people about proper eating and how that actually could turn their life around. So for me, I started for health and I stayed for the animals.
Hey, Kathleen, just for out of context, because our friend Kate wasn't available to be here right away. You were married 30 something years ago. How many years have you been married?
Well, I've been with Karen for over 31 years. We did first a domestic partner, then we did a civil union, then we did, I forget what the third one was, and then we got legally married when they legalized it. And we went down to see a friend get married. By this point, we'd been together probably 25 years. We went down to see a friend get married, and the line was really short, and this was my proposal. Well, line's short. She goes, yeah, line's short. Okay, let's do it. So we actually got legally married, which, you know, we had to jump through so many hoops to protect our assets, because we built a nice life together. And a lot of people don't realize that when they say special privileges, it has nothing to do with that. It's like, we just want equal rights and we want to protect our assets. And because if anything ever happened to either one of us, we have a will, we have, you know, everything in both our names. We've done a lot to protect ourselves.
And also clean and sober for 37 years?
Yes. Yes. So.
Kate's here for that. That's right, all on. Of Kate's things that she's super into, and she missed today's episode. She'll have to come back and watch.
She'll have to watch it. Yes.
Valentina. So another thought I was having as I was talking to both of you is that these network tips are something that a lot of people are going to need. We've been locked away for a little more than a year. And one, I want to know, do you think these things translate to Zoom? Mm-hmm. Do you go to these like Zoom happy hours or whatever? Or tell me a little bit about what your thoughts are on networking as we go forward.
So I go. I think there was one here locally, and I just attended. I was actually in my PJs. I just put some lip balm, one of my Noonday collection earrings, and I just went on, and then they invited me to be a speaker the next month. So it's just, like I said, getting out of your comfort zone and just going to these things.
You know, I'd like to talk about what you shared, Valentina, about getting involved when before the pandemic, when we could go to networking meetings. What you said about volunteering for committees, that is so powerful. That's what I would do. And I would always offer to be a speaker, too, because the minute you're a speaker, you're an expert. That in people's minds. And back in the day when I first started speaking, if you could speak, it was like people thought you could walk on water. Now there are a lot of people who speak. So it's not the same as it used to be. However, if you're a good speaker, you put yourself head and shoulders above everybody else. But everything that you said, 100% agree with, Valentina. And I know that when the restrictions are lifted, there's going to be a lot of opportunity for people, but lay your foundation now. Don't wait until the restrictions are lifted. Start doing the networking now.
I think that's something that we need to say about every business. I can't tell you how many people are like, Valentina, I don't know how you do it. I'm like, I just did it. I was terrified. Like I said, I did the Amy Cuddy, the super woman poses, just release the endorphins. And I just did it. Sometimes I didn't want to. I have little kids and I was exhausted at the time, but I still went for it.
Well, and that's when people say, oh, you're so lucky. You know, they go, oh, you're so lucky, this, that, and the other. It's like, luck has very little to do with it. The other day I went running and it was 36 degrees. I didn't feel like going out in 36 degrees, but I knew that this is a part of my protocol. So great point, Valentina.
Yeah. It's hard to find luck on the pillow. I've come to learn. You have to kind of get out of the bed a little bit to get that luck. And unless what you're trying to get lucky, it is in the pillow.
Well, that's true.
So we have two last parts of the show. One of them is that we always look for somebody to cheer on for being part of the audience.
Oh, and here's our person of the day. Kaboom!
A lot of you could have had this today. But holy cow, I have to say, Martin was connecting and linking 5-6 different people over at LinkedIn. So he'd ping this person. I just kept seeing Martin say, hey, come check this episode out. And with reasons, like because Kathleen's talking about this or Valentina had this to say. So there's a lot kind of thrown in there. Eric, I don't know when that scrolled by, but I saw that too. Gender fluid social media manager and women's flat track derby player. I like watching Eric's derby videos. And Martin's still doing it. So here we go. So the one last question we ask every single backpacker who shows up on the show is, what goes in your backpack? This can be either something physical or it could be something metaphorical. It could be something like Saida Trujillo said, an avocado. Because it could be a meal, it could be a part of a meal. Everybody loves a good piece of avocado, and there's a little toy to play with at the end. Or it could be something like metaphorical, like hope for the future. So I'm going to start with Valentina M. Valentina Escobar Gonzalez. Tell me a little bit about what goes in the backpack.
I would say my journal. Every night I journal. I did this in the beginning of last year, 2020, and I'd write every single day. I had fun, ... So I did this at the January 1st, 2020, even during the pandemic, every day I would write something. And I think it's so important to be grateful for what you have in your life. So that's my journal.
A gratitude journal. I'll take it. Kathleen Gage, what goes in that backpack for you?
You know, I have to say it's the same thing. It's my gratitude. This morning I did this before I came on our conversation, and I just go through a list of what I'm grateful for. And that was something I learned early on in sobriety. It's like when you have a grateful heart, you can't have a hateful heart. That's kind of a, you know, cliche, but it's true. And so gratitude beyond a shadow of a doubt. You give thanks ahead of time for the things that you want in life. You give thanks for what you do have. And no matter how small it seems, when you express gratitude, it amplifies.
Martin wants to know specifically if you write with a fountain pen.
I wish. Those things are pricey. I like them though.
I don't remember what my pen is. My mom buys them for me, I guess my parents buy them for me, and I love them, and I can't get enough. So we write with pens. All right. One thing, my grandmother was from a time where not very many people did any plant-based eating. So every now and again, she would try to figure it out. And every now and again, she would ask some questions about it, sort of like, well, is pork a vegetable? And of course, that's just a joke. But, you know, she would always try to get it up to, as close to the line as she could. But of course, you'd add in extra sticks of butter and extra cheese to try to make up for the no meat in it. So this one time, one of the things she came up with